Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Human beings are fundamentally relational, created for relationships. God said of Adam, it's not good for man, I'm supposed to be alone. It's not good for a human being to be alone. And when God created human beings, He said, let us create man in our image. And God is tripersonal. He created human beings to have this sort of, to be a person such that we needed other persons. To live in a community, be part of a community. He created us first and more foremost for a relationship with Him, with our Creator. And in the New Testament, this relationship is often expressed in terms of a mutual indwelling. Christ in us and us in Christ. St. Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we're told that we are baptized into Christ. We're died with Him, we're buried with Him, so we might be raised with Him. And to the Colossians, St. Paul says that we died and our life is hid with Christ in God. And so, on the one hand, Christ, God, dwells in us, and on the other hand, we dwell in Him, this mutual indwelling. St. Paul goes on to say that our life is hidden in Christ, and that His glory will become our glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory, and us in Christ, us taking on His glory. Glory is an interesting notion because it's Christ glorified the Father, and what that really meant is that it made the Father known. He says the Spirit will glorify Him and the Spirit will make Him known. So glory is this thing that if you look at someone, you see someone else. You look at Christ and you see the Father. The Holy Spirit shows us the Son. What it is to be glorified as human beings is to reveal the Son. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in us, is revealing the Son of God in us. So people look at us and see Christ. Just as the Theotokos said in Magnificat, my soul magnifies the Lord. You look at me and the Lord is made large. It's not a prideful or arrogant statement, it's just a profound sense of humility that she is, that we're become transparent to the one that's inside of her. It's very paradoxical to be a Christian, to live out the Christian life, is to become the kind of person so that when someone looks at you, they don't see you, they see Christ. We think of normally in this world, certainly the ways of the world, the things that we're bombarded with in the world is to find ways to make ourselves stand out and look important and be impressive. And it's exactly the opposite in the gospel message. Christ talks about this when He says, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God. They see your good works, but they know they didn't come from you. The only real revelation that's made there is that God is at work. And so He says in the Gospel of John that His followers, His believers, will run to the light so that it will be revealed that their works are produced by God. So the attention, the light, the focus won't be on us, but it'll be on the one who dwells in us and the one in whom we dwell. The profound expression of what it is to be a person, and to be invisible, so that those that are reside in you can be seen. This mutual indwelling. It's easy enough to see in the scriptures time and again that this is true with our relationship to our God, our Creator, to Christ, our Savior. But it turns out we can ask the question, does it apply to each other? When we look at one another, do we see other human beings? Should we see other human beings? Do we mutually indwell with one another? St. Paul writes this to the Corinthians in his second letter. You are our epistle written on our hearts, known and read by all men. What's he saying? You dwell in us, you dwell in our hearts, and when people look at us, they see you. An amazing statement. It's a profound expression of what a true human being is, that St. Paul has not only Christ dwelling in his heart, but those that he loves, that he cares for, that he ministers to, dwelling in his heart, so profoundly so that he becomes invisible so that they can be seen. In God's kingdom, we only really see each other in the face of a different person. When we look at each other, we see someone else. Christ, the saints. And we have this invitation to live our life this way. Later in his letter to the Corinthians, second letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, and our heart is open wide. You also be open. Open your hearts to us. Truly the call, the gospel message, is to open our hearts to let others flood in, first and foremost Christ, but then all of those that God puts in our life. It's this profound expression of love, and we can't say that we love God who we haven't seen if we don't love our brother we have seen. So St. Paul pleads with the Corinthians to let him into their hearts, even as he's let them into his heart. And to long to have this profound connection and unity and embrace of one another. So a human being is only really truly a human being when we're so rightly related to other people that they dwell in us. First and foremost, that invitation to enter into the Holy Trinity and let the Holy Trinity dwell in us, as our Lord prays in his high priestly prayer. But then, all of creation ultimately, as St. John Chrysostom, St. Macarius the Great, Isaac of Syria, all emphasize the sense that in our hearts dwell really all of creation. So you might wonder why I would mention these things on a day when the gospel is the nameless rich man and the destitute Lazarus. And I think that the point of this account that our Lord gives us is that when they're both dead and in their state of their afterlife, it's revealed that things are exactly the opposite of the way they looked when they were on the earth. On the earth, it looked like you could look at the rich man and see all of these people coming and going from his palace, and all of these people he was surrounded with and partying with and having a good time. It looked like Lazarus was all alone and isolated. But as is almost always the case, what we see in our eyes with our physical senses is misleading, misguiding for what's really going on in the spiritual realm. And what we see with Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and the rich man in Hades is that the rich man is the one who's isolated and all alone. We look at him and we don't see anyone but him. But when we look at Lazarus, we see Abraham's bosom and all of those who are in Abraham's bosom. We see that somehow his life was hid in Christ in such a profound way that if we could look at him with spiritual eyes, we would see that he carried in his heart his Creator and all of those people who he came in contact with. St. Paul tells the Corinthians, I no longer know you according to the flesh. You've become a new creature. I know you according to this new life, according to the Spirit that's been poured out in your hearts. So Lazarus harbors life looked on this in this fallen world, whatever he suffered. The text says he suffered great evil. He did it in such a way that he didn't close his heart off to what it was to be truly a human being, to be a human person, to have a kind of mutual indwelling with his Creator and with others that became revealed in his death, being united to a community that he was created for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.